Now, we are in this series called Set Apart. The word set apart is a very unique word. The whole idea of Set Apart, this series, was to work through the concept of holiness. Okay? Now, holiness as a word means differently to different people. For some people, holiness means you don't watch a movie. Very holy. For some people, holiness means you have nothing branded. Turn to a neighbor and say, you don't look like one. Okay, just kidding, okay? So the idea of holiness has gone through many, many different evolution of thoughts. During the revival of holiness, I'm not too sure whether you're aware of it, but really brought about by John Wesley, the Methodist, and there was this big thing called the holiness movement. In fact, the club was called Holy Club. So by then, the concept of holiness somehow moved from internal to be very external expression. So I still remember I was preaching in a church. And obviously the pastor kind of liked me because he invited me for a few times. So this is my third or fourth year I was preaching in the church. And somehow as I was preaching, I mentioned about movie. So the pastor stood up in the midst of, this is about 200-300 congregation, stood up just where Jonathan is, says, would you tell them about your thought about movie? So I was caught in the spot and I don't know what does he believe about movie. Okay? So I am not so religious where certain people, they just don't go for movie. For them, movie, certain movie, not just so, cinema itself is a sin. If you walked in, how many of you used to come from that kind of a background? Okay, we have a few, okay? At least we have a few, okay? That's why you don't go cinema anymore. You watch Netflix. I'm just kidding, okay? So anyway, so I didn't know. So I then said that, you know, when it comes to all this movie, I'm not so religious. The moment I went on that route, I can see the pastor's face turn. Literally, I can see him almost drop his jaw. So while I was making that, I quickly make a U-turn. I quickly said, however, when it comes to things like that, your pastor has the final say. Follow your pastor, okay? And then I moved back to preach about the message. Well, he never invited me back again. So this whole thing about holiness in this series Set Apart was trying to walk us through the journey of holiness. So it takes about 6 to 7 weeks. It all started with the concept that God is holy. What does that really mean? So that's where the word set apart comes in, because God is others than all. He's a creator. We are his creation. God is just totally another category by itself. None of us even can come close. And sometimes we use the word transcendence and all the different words. But holy is a word that says that he is just other than all of us. Okay, so it kind of began with God. And because out of God's holiness, he created a very perfect world. But when sin came in, and we can dialogue about that, sin really take away the concept of holiness from each and every one of us. So much so that today, we look at, so holiness meant to be something very normal. It's meant to be whenever you're kind, whenever, that's very normal. But today, the concept of holiness was so corrupted that many of us walk at the edge of sin. So the way we think is very simple. The way we think is, as long as I'm not as bad as the world, I'm holy. So the world can have many women. As long as I don't have many women, I watch porn, I'm still more holy than them. The world can take 2.6 billion, I take 2 ringgit 60 cent, I'm holier. So we tend to move our benchmark to the way the world defines, but actually not the way the Bible defines. So holiness, and that's where we use the word set apart, because the word set apart simply captures the concept that every one of us, the way we live our life, is to live it unto the Lord. We are being set apart. So we took on that journey of holiness, okay? Then today, we are supposed to talk about how holiness is being lived out. Okay, now to begin with that, I want to give you a little bit of a bigger picture of holiness. And the best picture I can give to you is really Isaiah. So the way I said it is, the journey of holiness is best captured by Isaiah when he encountered God. So I'm going to read today only two passages of scripture. One is Isaiah, the other one is Titus. Okay, let me just kind of walk through with you. So Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 3 was an encounter that Isaiah had with God. So in the year that King Uzziah died, which is Isaiah's cousin, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. Kind of give you a description, which, by the way, about a couple of thousand years later, let me think, about 1,000 years later, about there, slightly less than that. Wait, hold on, let me get the math right. Correct, about 1,000 years later, it was John at the island of Patmos who had a revelation about God. And he saw the same thing as Isaiah saw 1,000 years ago, which is this. He says, God was seated high on a throne. The train of his robe filled the temple. Is this a way, a very classical way of saying how he had this robe that's very, very long, like a train, okay? And above him was seraphim, which each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying and they were calling to one another. So you can imagine, right? They were all flying. And what were they calling? They were calling, would you read together? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The every time you see when words are mentioned two or three times, it just emphasizes the importance of it. For example, if you come to me and say, hey, the karimi this morning, hocha abo, oh, hocha, hocha, hocha. Then you know that it's very, very, very nice because hocha, hocha, hocha. Okay? That's Hokkien, okay? You're trying to say that it's really, or you look at, you know, you put on a shirt and say, oh, sui bo, wow, sui, 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 sui. Then you know it's very pretty, 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 right? That's the way, okay? So the angel was declaring to one another, which John say the same thing 1,000 years later. He says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Just this holiness of God. Then he says, the whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, of the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Not our smoke machine, but this is a real smoke, okay? Then the Bible says, Isaiah. Now, so sometimes we look at just the holiness of God. For those of us who love to worship God, this is where we park ourselves and we just enjoy worshiping God, all right? But the Bible tells us that encounter the holiness of God is more than just worshiping God. It gives you the second encounter that Isaiah had while he saw God. He says, then woe to me, I cry, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Every time, the real encounter with God, you always walk away. There's something that you want God to touch you, or in today's language, I call it make whole. You want God to touch some part of us. You know, today we live in a very, very broken world. How many of you realize you are broken? Okay, so few of you. Okay, all of us are broken. Some of us are broken in the way we think. Some of us are broken in the way we do things. Some of us are broken in our jealousy. We're all broken in so many ways. And then, so how do you see how do you have awareness of your brokenness? It's when you are able to encounter God. And then you realize that, gosh, I shouldn't have said that. You know, how many times when I had an argument with my wife, a small one, that was because it's her fault. No, I'm just kidding, okay? And I am worshiping God, and in the midst of worshiping God, and God, and I have the little conviction that I need to say sorry to her. And I'm worshiping God, I'll just close one step closer to her, and I hold her hand. Sorry. Man of unclean lips, woe to me, every one of us. All right? And then it says, I live among our people unclean lips. And then next is, God will touch the part that we needed him. And then he says, the angel flew to me, have a live coal in his hand, which has taken with tongs from the altar. With it, it touched my mouth and said, would you read together? See, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. So God will touch different parts of our life in our encounter with God. A true worship encounter walks away a changed man. A true worship encounter doesn't end with just feeling good. a true worship encounter, walked away knowing that something changed in my heart. Okay? Now, not only that, he then brings us to the third encounter with the holiness of God. He says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" So in a nutshell, the journey of encountering God's holiness, the whole journey, start with adoring who God is, worshiping God, which is many of us experience that in our worship service, when we go to New Zealand, when we look at the beauty, say, "Wow, God is so beautiful." You're adoring everything because that's just who God is. But more than that, you want to be able to allow the holiness of God to change something within you. The way you think, the way you react, the way you look at finance, the way you do parenting, the way you do your business, and you want to do so. You know, I remember one of our church member who last year, and I was just talking about how it is so important for us to live right before God. And so the moment he had that, he's a middle management company person. He went back to his company, which is quite a large company, and they were selling a product that he thinks wasn't very honest. And I remember he was so bold to go back to his company, and he did two things. The first thing was, there was a company product that he is using in his house that the boss asked him to do so, but he felt it wasn't right. So the first thing he did was he tell the company, "You know, boss, this product that you allow me to use is really company. I don't think I should use it. I want to return it back." And secondly, he says, "This range of product that we are selling, I don't think it is really right because it is not the best. It is not honest to the, can I propose that we change it?" You know, the boss actually take heed and make the changes. I was so impressed with him. He's actually one of our leader right now. And he was just telling about how he prayed that night, God convicted of him, and he wanted to get to do certain thing right, make whole. And finally, the third encounter is when you and I, we become a witness for God. We will then tell people. So because God is a God that's set apart, therefore we set apart ourselves to live our life for God. All right, that's a little big full whole journey about holiness. All right, the last 10 minutes, let me just capture Titus 2:11, 14. This is a brilliant scripture. If there's any scripture, I think, one verse to capture this whole entire concept of encountering God and how he wants us to live and whatever, I think Titus 2:11 is one of the best, okay? So he says here, so Titus, Paul was writing to Titus to address some of the false teachers and all of that. So verse 1 to 10 of Titus 2, he was telling them how you are supposed to live your life. He was writing to the different generation. And verse 11, he tells you why you're able to do so. He says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation." How many of you encountered the grace of God that brings salvation? Okay, should be all of us. Okay, you want to try lifting up your hand? Wow, you can actually do that. Wow. Just kidding. Yeah, like, wow, I got a hand, okay? And the Bible says, this salvation, this grace of God that brings salvation, he says, appeared to all men. Did you notice what was the next verse? Verse 12, what does it begin with? That one? What? Teaching us. Who is teaching us? The same grace. He says, this grace of God doesn't just help you to, boom, get saved. He says, this same grace actually works in us, and there are many, many big words to define that. Some call it sanctification. It doesn't matter, and there are many, many lens to work towards that. But it says, this same grace teaches. What does he teach us? Okay, then he tells you, it teaches you two things. Number one, it teaches you to live your life in such a way, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. It says, this same grace that saves you is the grace that will, and the word teach is really a very parenting word. It's a word that rebuke, teach, discipline, hold your hand. It is that whole accompanying to help you to live a life where you learn how to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, which all of us face. Then he also teaches you to live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Very interesting. No time to unpack three different words: sober, righteous, godly. Very different angle in the present age. And then he tells you what else you need to do. He says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Okay, so it is one of those little verse in the Bible, very unique, because it tells you what Christ has done. He delivered us from our past, give us salvation. He's coaching us how to live our life godly in our present age, while we look towards the future for the blessed hope that God has given to us. So he's really telling, he says, this is the way you and I should live our life. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, this is the way you should live your life? Okay? So I take this thinking. Boom, I'm confronted with cancer. I'm trying to navigate that. I know that I've got salvation in Christ. In the midst of all my present age struggle, I'm trying to learn how to live sober, righteous, godly in the midst of pain. But I'm looking for the blessed hope that's in front of me. I'm always navigating that. All of us are, no matter what you are going through. And then he adds the final part. He says, not only that. He says, God redeems us from every lawless deed, purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. So he says, not only we learn how to navigate past, present, future, the way we live our life, he says we must know that we actually are God's special people. And he says this, how would you know you're special? Zealous for good works. He says, how would you know you really belong, God is special? So that when you park your car, you say, God, I'm special, give me a parking space. Say, no, that's not how you know you are special. So that when you buy food, you get extra discount. No. He says, you know when you are special because you are people who are zealous for good works. You want to be a blessing to many people. He says, that's how, that's the mark, that's the brand. That's when people look at you and say, oh, you belong to God's special people because you are zealous for good work, not zealous for discount. Huge, the concept. Good work when it's difficult. Good work when it's not popular. Good works when people ridicule you. You still are people that are zealous for good work. Okay, now, let me just kind of wrap it up by telling a story, and this is a story of Jason and Melissa. Some of you, if you watch our online, you will have heard the story, but the story unfolds a bit further, okay? It was a very unique story because Jason and Melissa, Jason is a, what do you call that? He's a, they're all creative people, okay? Not like me. Neither am I destructive. It's just, I'm plain, okay? Anyway, so Melissa was a script writer for our Christmas production last year. Okay, we had a Christmas production. She was the one that wrote the entire script. And she's actually very brilliant. She works for, I think, Astro or whatever, and she writes script and, you know, all of that. So she's very brilliant with that. Jason is, they are both musicians. Jason is a guitarist. He was the one that wrote one particular sad song where the actor, his name, so I'm going to give a couple of names, okay? Where Zikwan is the actor, he was singing that song because in the scene, he lost his son, okay? In the drama, in the production, okay? So he was singing that song. Now, little did I know, post-production, I caught up with them and I knew a little bit of their story. The story was Jason and Melissa could not have a baby. They went through the IVF route and they had 4 embryo transfer, which means that the embryo was super healthy. 4 different transfer, somehow they could not have a baby. The doctor looked at them and said that, I'm so sorry, I cannot explain this, but normally you have 4, you at least will have 1. or some of us will have four, right? And I still remember last year, beginning of last year, was the final embryo transfer. So a week before the embryo transfer, you know, they wanted to rest, and she has been resting just to create the best environment for the embryo to be able to stick. They came to me, we prayed for them, we got our prayer team, we're all believing God. But they went for the final transfer and no baby. So the doctor could not explain that. And they have to settle to the fact that they potentially cannot have any baby after they have done IVF and all that. Unless God do a miracle, which is never write that off. Okay, so Jason wrote the song to capture the pain of potentially not having a baby, which was why the song was very powerful. Because it's not just a song, it's a cry from his heart towards God, trying to wrestle with the pain that he was going through. Coupled with the fact that Jason and Melissa, because of not having a baby, she had massive pain every month. Literally massive pain. She had seen like 8 different doctors and she could not overcome this. So they were having a particular season of life that is extremely, extremely painful. Remember, I talk about you have salvation in the past. You are trying to live sober, righteous, godly in the present age, which is very difficult. But looking at the blessed hope, you're trying to navigate life with that three understanding that all of us go through, right? So they did the production. He wrote the song. Zeke Wan, are you still with me? Who is Jason? Who is Melissa? Okay. Did Melissa sing the song? Did Melissa write the song? Who wrote the song? Boy, you guys are brilliant. Gong Yifa Choi, this is like very good. 青春美丽, okay? So anyway, Zikwan, who sang the song, little did I know that 2 years ago, the mom passed away due to cancer. So when he sang the song, which is a song about the loss that he has to go through, but yet looking at God. So if you ever followed the production, he gets very emo with that song. People will walk away and say, wow, this is such a good actor. Actually, he wasn't acting. It was just real to him. And so he sang that song, and the entire production helps him to bring closure of saying goodbye to his mom. Can you imagine? That was so brilliant. So God uses all their different pains and weave it to become something that is extremely powerful, that is so ministering to everybody. And Jason and Melissa told me this. He says, Pastor, this has been one of the best years of all our life because God uses our pain and turn it around to bless so many people. Fast forward, on the Christmas Eve that night, I met up with a person. This person has been depressed for past 3.5 years and literally spent most of her time in the room for 3.5 years, literally, because of the death of her best friend in a suicidal situation. And she could not wrap around it. She watched the production. And a week ago, she texted me. My name is so-and-so. Pastor, I heard the Jason Melissa story. Could I meet up with you? So for one of the first time, she got up from her house, met me, and then this weekend she's in church. She finally stepped out from the room and want to relive her life again. All I'm trying to say here is this. When we understand we are God's special people, His possession, and having armed with the idea that salvation that God has done for us, learning how to navigate our present age, sober, righteous, godly, looking forward to the blessed hope. Can I propose to every one of you, we are stronger than anything that the world throws at us by His grace. Because this grace is the one kept on teaching us by the holiness of God. You can live your life even in the midst of life's most difficult situation. Let me pray for you. Then we'll jump into dialogue. Okay? Now, I just want to take a moment. If you are at a state in your life where you are going through difficulties and you could not wrap around it, but this morning, something about you that identify, we say that, boy, this Jason, Melissa, they were different league. The way they, it wasn't them. It was them throwing themselves to the grace of God. So I want to encourage you, if you are going through some of your most difficult part of your life, I want you to respond to the grace of God as I pray. But maybe you can lift your hand, just identify yourself and just, right? God, you see the hands. You see those that are caught in a certain spot and trying to navigate their life soberly, righteously, and godly. I pray in the name of Jesus that this grace of God is the same grace that not only saves us, but teach us, tutor us, guide us, lead us, adjust us, rebuke us, enlighten us, so that God, we learn how to live in your grace in the midst of the pain and struggle that we go through. We look to you. We invite Jesus, we invite Holy Spirit, we invite your grace to be upon us. We thank you so that we are able to live out who you are in the midst of what we are going through. So we thank you, we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, are you blessed?